What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Ball Year Round Podcast. This is Andy, and finally we got Mike back. Excited to have him join us tonight. He had to take a little hiatus for his job, but we always appreciate that because the bag is much more worth than what the heck we, you know, are doing and blabbing about hoops. So welcome back, Mike. And how was your little break, too? Like, how was your Thanksgiving? How did everything end up going?
It was a good time. It's good to be back. Sorry I was gone. Turns out working on like West Coast-ish time has its pitfalls and its greatness. Greatness is sometimes we sneak a pod in the morning. Sometimes I can't make the pod because I'm working late, which is still like 3 o'clock over there. honestly, I just saw the Wizards were number one in the East. Paolo was out drinking with Coach K's grandson, so I just needed a break. You know, it was all becoming too much. last week was good. You know, we got a little Thanksgiving in with yourself and the family, of course. But what'd you think of Papa Fortune / the Fortune family Thanksgiving?
Man, I will say, first off, I want to say thank you. The food was phenomenal, guys. All of your, you know, fixes that you'd like, the mac and cheese, my daughter was a huge fan. She ate all the leftovers we brought home too. So it is definitely something that if I can mark it on my calendar again next year, I would easily do. I had a lot of fun, man. It was good seeing you guys. And I know the kids really, really had a great time. They're still talking about it. So yeah, no, I will say that it was I'd give that a solid 9.5 out of 10, man. The food was really good.
Yeah, it was awesome. I want more of those mashed potatoes, but unfortunately, those things were gone too by the end of the weekend.
I believe you on that. Yeah, I crushed those when I got home. Yeah, those were really good, man. She did a great job with that.
Yeah, so definitely shout out the Fortune sisters for making a great, great Thanksgiving dinner. But so that's kind of what we were up to. I'd like to say that we'll give more of a heads up when we don't have a couple episodes in a row, but maybe we'll try. it's been good. Lots of hoop stuff going on still. I have a little t-shirt sponsor update, which I'm sure everyone was on the edge of their seat waiting for the t-shirt sponsor update. The t-shirt sponsor we're not gonna actually end up going with, because the more I looked into it during my time off, that's what I was doing. I was actually flying out to the t-shirt factory and inspecting the t-shirts. Turns out, the more I look into their website, their cheapest t-shirt is $60, and it's listed as on sale because it's normally $100. And it's kind of like, I don't want to say wannabe Supreme because that's a little rude, but it's not exactly the brand alignment we're going for. We would probably be closer to the Starberry brand alignment. You make those shoes affordable. So we're not going to have a promo code for them anytime soon. But we still have t-shirts. They also weren't down to take our t-shirts, so I don't know. Our t-shirts are going to undercut them quite a bit. They're only $27 if you want a logo t-shirt for the holiday. But how was your conversations with the COO at T-Shirt Factory X, Andy, over the break? I know you broke bread with them a little bit over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, shoot. Those they're a hard group to deal with, man. They don't always like to they didn't like our idea with bringing the shirts on. So the talk kind of got stale. And then, it's not going to work at this time. But I mean, I think we've got a few exciting things potentially coming up. So, going to keep our head up, man. And we'll just keep working at it. And if there's anybody that is interested that has, a line or anything that's in line with what we're doing, and it's about being affordable so that everybody can, you know, enjoy and get a piece of that pie, then we'd love to talk with you. But you know, we're all about affordability, because shoot, if it wasn't affordable for us to, you know, be doing this pod or doing anything with basketball, I don't think that either one of us would have done it either. So we want to make sure that it is. So we're an inclusive bunch around here.
Right. push something that I probably wouldn't ever buy unless they gave me half off. So that's really the philosophy behind that, I guess. But yeah, no, you got we got some stuff in the works, so I'm sure either way, ship'll sell. But what's been going on, man? I didn't get your take on, I don't think we actually talked about it at all, even over Thanksgiving somehow. But Coach K grandson, little sloppy. Yeah. Might have been driving, might have flipped seats with Paolo, who knows?
No, there was I think that it was a business decision, whoever had Coach K's grandson driving, because I mean, shoot, in that town, there's only a few people that are untouchable. Obviously, there's gonna be some sort of something, but as you can all see, we haven't heard about what that something is going to be. And Paolo's been hooping, but there is something out there, Mike, that is glaringly obvious as to why this particular specimen of a human being sometimes will kind of go down a little bit. And those are cramps, because he drinks and parties, bro. Like, I don't give a damn what nobody says. I've been there before, man. You're hitting, you're drinking, you're out late, you get up, whatever, you have to go hoop. And dude, you've drinking and all that takes all your electrolytes, all your, your water from you. So this guy's out here playing regular minutes, sweating off 7 pounds, they said on TV, a game, which is cool. Cool. He's a big time sweater. But I think that his body temp is raised a few degrees, where he's losing a lot of water. So during that time, I think that's when the cramps come. So, like I said, I think it was a business decision to have Coach K's grandson drive his car. It was it saved the season. A lot of high fives going on.
Yeah, so didn't know Coach K's grandson was on the team. The nepotism doesn't really surprise me, but the fact that he ends up being the dude in the car with Paolo is hilarious. But, like you're saying, who else had a little cramp problem? LeBron.
Oh.
Remember that back in the day? He used to cramp up all the
time. I do.
Now who's got a wine brand cool. called Sheesh? I don't know. connected the dots. Paolo's probably closer to LeBron than most, at least. So that might have a little to do with it. But, he's probably got 1 year to have his college life. So he's living 100%. He's a West Coast guy. He's used to late nights already. You got that time change. So
for them, for the one and done guys, I mean, the school year is all pretty much over. I mean, shit, you can, you can just get your grades first semester and, you can just ride the wave and just stop going in the spring, hit a Ben Simmons. I mean, I don't recommend people to do that, but Ben's done a lot of things that we don't recommend. So, it's just an interesting, thing watching Duke and all that stuff. So, I don't know. Still not sold if he's number one yet, but, obviously now there's something to talk about now about the number one pick. What do you want to do? Do you want to risk it or do you not? And Michael Porter Jr., they didn't take that risk on him. So, he fell a bit in the draft. So who knows? Maybe
then PJ have a Dewey or OUI or some shit?
Nah, he just was like just the injury deal, and like maybe they're worried about his cramps. They're
he's
like,
similar, oh, God.
So, but I don't know. I the kid's a great player. That is something that I'm not gonna question that part. And he does some pretty cool shit out there on the floor. So.
Yeah, I think Paolo's going to be he's my number one pick, man. Like you're saying, I don't think it's a larger problem. I think it was probably just bad luck, bad situation, but I still think he's number one. Like, he's ridiculous. It's him and Chet, but like, I don't think we've seen two guys their size and length like that move like a guard like they do in a minute, at least since like maybe KD going back that far. But Paolo's a big boy. Paolo's like 250. Yeah. Like,
they got to figure out the crank thing, though. Like, whether he's going to be like
Because, like, you can't be, like, you know, in the second game of a weekend, you know, a tournament weekend, like, you know, second half cramping up and you don't have your – literally the dude that you're running your offense through. So, hopefully they figure that out. Yeah. They already lost. They lost to Ohio State last night, right?
They did. They went cold in the second half and couldn't buy a bucket, really, in Ohio State, you know. Ohio State, when they actually get going, they have some guards that can cause some problems, and they're a solid shooting team, you know, and they always rebound. And so, yeah, it was a tough second half. I didn't actually get to watch that game, but I saw it on SportsCenter, and that's kind of what they explained happening. So, yeah, you're right, though. You know, you can't have your best player going down in the second half of a long weekend, or, you know, like you said, in the tournament. That's going to be a key, because you have to play those games. You know, you only got a day or two in between, you know, those rounds. And then there's only a couple days in between when you actually do travel for that, you know, whether going on to the third round or whatever, you know. So I think I think you have a point with that. And I'd like to see how that kind of plays out for the rest of the year. And I mean, I think everybody knows that I'm a big Chet Holmgren fan. Yeah, just a big time Chet fan. But
yeah, I think is that your number one over Paolo then?
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason I go with him number one, dude, is because, like, I see a lot of similarities. And, you know, people can call me crazy or whatever, but I see a lot of Draymond Green in Chet's game. With the ability, his number one, the ability to pass, his how he moves with the ball, like, always has his eyes up, always, like, getting his teammates involved, and he wins a lot. And then defensively, he's probably better defensively. But he still, you know, does a great job offensively being, you know, consistent. Or, staying within himself, really. I think that's what he does a great job with. And I think later on we're going to just see. One's going to be more of a winner and the other's going to be more of a stat stuffer. So I don't know. It just depends on which team he goes to. And I mean, if Chet goes to, like, I don't know if, like, what teams are going to be bad or not, or what teams are going to be out there, but shoot, if Chet goes to the Thunder or some crazy shit, like, that Thunder team is, like, right there. Yeah. They're losing games or whatever, but geez, you know, they're young as hell and they're playing hard. So yeah, man, it's going to be a fun race, though. Really fun race.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that fitting in well with SGA. They already kind of, like, tried to get a chat with Pokuševski, but Pokuševski doesn't have the mobility. Yeah, that'd be a fun roster. They'd be able to go really tall, too, with Giddy in there and Dort. You said Dort and
He's been SGA making some nice guard. Progress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we just, before Thanksgiving, we put together a little, just three little list of three, if I can fucking talk. Things we're thankful for so far through the NBA season. But, I think number one, first and foremost, is the Jays surviving trades, injuries, everything. Just because I don't know if the Celtics are that watchable without the Jays. if the Jays ever get split up, I'm gonna be hurting. I might have to boycott a season or something. But I mean, I've joked that I will nuke the Twitter account, and I actually might. I mean, I don't know if it's worth following the franchise if they somehow split up the Jays. I think they're the future, and if not, it's a fun ship to watch sink. If not. But who you got for your number one? Or I guess, I mean, no real number one, number two, number three. We're equally thankful. We're all Marshawn Lynch here.
Right. I would say what I'm most thankful for this year, with the season is for the Bulls to have actually made some real moves. I mean, what was really nice too was the kind of players that they brought in. You know, it wasn't just necessarily the big name. DeMar DeRozan, obviously, he's having an NBA caliber, like MVP caliber type season. But what's cool about it is they got a group of guys that came in and coexisted early. They were about, you know, winning and bringing the excitement back to the city that loves basketball. So, and when the Bulls are good, everything seems to be much better in the, you know, the cold winter months of, you know, Chicago and the Midwest. So I will say that I'm most thankful for those, you know, the Bulls GM and, you know, bringing those guys in and allowing them to do their job. So what do you got on the list for number two?
Thankful for the absence of Garpax.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Have them at the dinner table anymore.
it's the food tastes better.
Yeah, the Bulls have been fun to watch. That was going to be my honorable mention if you didn't take, because the Bulls have actually been sick. And you know, the Bulls are one of those franchises that like are easier to root for than say the Knicks or the Lakers being really good, or even the Nets, like even though they did kind of super team it. Like, yeah, it's not that far off. Like, Alonzo's been sick. LaVine's fitting right in with everybody. They got a little COVID, though. Kobe White's out. And also, I saw they're giving up a second rounder because of technically tampering with Alonzo, which I feel like a good trade.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, like, if that's what it took to get it done, I mean, you know, right. It is what it is. You know, I didn't honestly, I need to look at a bit more, honestly, the details of like what actually, you know, what each team's role was. But all I know is that both moves made the East actually like a good race, you know. Whereas last year, I mean, if we were coming into this year, I mean, and if the roster stayed the same, I mean, it was pretty much a lock who we would have guessed to be the number one team. And, you know, now watching their debacle, it's like, holy shit, like there's a race, you know. So now it's kind of it's pretty fun to watch. And, you know, some teams and another thing that I'm looking at, Mike, like it's teams are like at that close to 500 or a couple games over. You know, the season has kind of started slow for some of the teams we thought would be, you know, hot early, you know. And then, you know, watching the Hawks start off a little and now, holy shit, they're on a run, you know. So it's cool to, you know, see that. And this season kind of has its own feel this year. It is around, you know, the stars, but it's also focused heavily on like the teams and what their you know, each player is bringing, you know, to, you know, each roster. So it's a pretty interesting race right now, man. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Bulls are second at 14-8, and then, I mean, my C's are sitting down there at 11-10 and 11th, but they're two games out of being third. I guess 2.5 games out of being third. So I like the parity, but we're on the rough end of the stick at the moment, but it'll all even out eventually. The Heat got a similar tampering charge for Kyle Lowry's pickup, and they don't have Bam Bam for a bit. He's going to be out for thumb surgery for 6 weeks at least. So hopefully we'll be able to crawl back up there a little bit. But
and you guys second. Got a little bit of my bad. Sorry, you guys got a little
no,
bit
there you go. No, you go.
The C's got a little momentum too, man. You got Enes Kanter-Freedom on your squad. So
fuck.
Who
did he witness murder like at the executive level? Which one of our executives did he see like, you know, commit homicide? Like why the fuck?
You might have had it right. This dude, no, he's on his, like, first of all, he attacked the, like, whatever, your like game is dropping, you're not playing a lot. Number two, you went at LeBron, which nobody ever does. And so you, like you said, like when we were talking, I think that this is a perfect segue for him to be out of the league, number one, and then number two, for him to go into his political career. And now he's an American, so he's going to have that opportunity to possibly get in some sort of position because of his notoriety. So, hey, it's a good pivot for him because, yeah, he's like, they pay him a lot to do nothing. So, yeah, sorry, I just had to bring
now I'm thinking about Kanter political career, and I'm like, how fucking funny would it be if 2024, like, Kanter just abruptly retires and just starts running for president?
Oh, dude.
He wouldn't be old enough. He's not old enough. Fuck.
Oh, he's not old enough to run yet?
Like 40. But I'll just say, this is going to sound weird anyways. I'm thankful for the refs.
Ooh, not bad. Interesting. Everybody else might be pissed in the league, but I think a lot of fans like it too.
I mean, I think – I feel like – I mean, you've watched a lot of NBA basketball in your day. The amount of stoppages, like they haven't fully fixed it, but the amount of stoppages feels like less. Like in terms of they were trying to, you know, take some of the ticky-tack stuff out, take some of the, you know, free throws out that – were, you know, they were saying is against the spirit of the rules, I guess, kind of thing. But, yeah, so I feel like it's kind of worked. I still don't like certain refs, and I still see the same. It's just so funny how clockwork the NBA is with refs too, where it's like you're getting pissed off at the, like, or you're noticing, like, some odd calls going either way. And then you realize it's like, oh, it's Tony Brothers, or oh, it's Scott Foster. It's like the same guys that have always pissed you off your entire life watching games. Like, but I don't know.
Yeah, I like that one. That is a good one. I like that. The refs, man, they're getting the games moving. I like that. No, I really do. It brings back a little bit of physicality. It, you know, allows players that, like, honestly, if you're a physical type player, you just couldn't. It was hard to play. You know, because you touch somebody, it's a foul. So I do like the adjustments. You know, I hope that, you know, some of these, I would love to see college try to start adapting a few rules. You know, we might see a nice little turnover of coaches. I would love to see some younger blood out there coaching in the college game with, you know, just better overall gameplay. So, you know, I think that you know, college basketball has a chance to rip a few rules from the NBA to change their book a little bit. But all in all, Mike, I agree with you, man. That is I think that the refs are, heck, I don't even know why I didn't write that on my list, but damn, it has been different this year. It really has been. So
yeah, I never thought get to Thanksgiving, I'd be like, you know, the refs this year, it's really been, you know, they've done well with the rule thing.
I mean, I would say my second thing that I'm thankful for, and you know, I would say that it's gonna be, I don't know if this is even makes sense or if it's even something that can be thankful for, but you know what I've really enjoyed is NBA Twitter, man, is I'm really thankful for it, because it has helped, you know, follow teams that you're not necessarily able to follow, just because it's not your city or your demographic or whatever. But that has been a great spot to, you know, talk about the game, but also get different takes and have some different discussions. You know, I think that's, you know, been able to help, you know, even on our Thursday pods and stuff like that. So I'm definitely thankful for NBA Twitter, not always the people that I talk to, because some of it is crazy, but all in all, it's been really informative, and it's been, you know, actually been able to make a couple friends on there, man. So it's, I'm thankful for NBA Twitter for what that's worth.
Oh yeah. Oh, like you're saying, I definitely follow a few people where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'll interact with you, but sometimes your shit comes across my timeline and it's hilarious, mostly because I wouldn't touch that, but no, it's still fucking funny.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, there's some good shit to be found out there. I guess my last thing would be, and this is going to sound like pandering, I'd be remiss if I didn't include our guests, just because they've, you know, they've been really gracious with their time and have actually, you know, we've met a lot of really cool people and a lot of smart people, fun people, that just, you know, want to tell their story and, are willing to tell it to us. That's been kind of cool to see. And it's been, you know, it's been fun, getting to know a bunch of people and, you know, it's been cool to see that, you know, there's so many people willing to come on and do their thing, which is it's been fun. So
no, you're 100% right with that, and the fact that all these people who have, you know, spent a lot of their time, you know, whether it's being successful or just, you know, working on different projects, to take that little bit of time to share what they've done and you know, give a little bit of encouraging words and some advice to, you know, some of our listeners that have, you know, the dream or, you know, have the goal of working at a higher level for, you know, in basketball at some point. So I want to thank all of them, and especially, you know, for the ones that, you know, we had to even reschedule a few times and they still stuck with us. So, like I said, it's it means a lot to us, and, you know, it means a lot, you know, I hope, to other people that are listening and able to gather some information and also have a good laugh once in a while. We've had some pretty funny guests. Eric Strickland was phenomenal. So, you know, he's a huge ball of energy, man, a fun guy. So it was really cool. And we've learned a lot too during this time. So that's a good one, Mike. I like that. That's well, great timing with that. I guess my last thing then that I'm thankful for, you know, is honestly, man, Mike, I'll say I'm thankful to be friends with you, man. Like, because without that friendship and anything like that, none of this would be possible. Some of the experiences that we've been able to have, and, you know, shoot, we still talk about them to this day. So, you know, I'm really thankful, you know, for our friendship, and, you know, hopefully we can continue to do this in whatever capacity both of us can be here, and, you know, is and just keep, you know, learning and enjoying the time, man. So I want to say thank you. I appreciate you, dude.
I appreciate it, man. Hell yeah. I'm thankful for you too. We've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of ups. Yeah. Our downs have just been injuries.
Yeah, too many of those, man. Holy crap.
A lot of those downs. Yeah, no, I definitely, I can't thank you enough for, you know, your efforts and stuff in the project that we've been doing here. You've become middleman Andy, I feel like. You got more names and conversations going on in the background than I think people will would realize. And I certainly appreciate it. But there's never a bad time to start the relationship.
True.
But yeah, no, I think I'm going to try to be here for every Thursday, but I think I might miss a few more. Like Andy was saying, like it's possible. Turns out running during a podcast, two-day a week podcast with a full-time job is actually a lot of screen time when your full-time job is screen time. And sometimes you're either not available, or, you know, it's like you look at your week and you're like, oh shit, I got all 4 out of 5 nights this week. I got something after work for work, but, you know, it's never really work. It's it's cool. It's just sometimes I gotta, you know, hang out with the bunny family. No.
I agree, my man. That is the biggest thing about this is definitely keeping it fun, and, you know, you need balance. So that's why, you know, guys, we're pretty excited, because there's an opportunity to, you know, do a few different things, maybe, you know, do some play-by-play games, and, you know, have a guest on to talk, get on a hot seat, things like that. So we'll mix it up a little bit, but, you know, obviously we're going to still keep, you know, our traditional, you know, Thursdays as much as we can. And then, you know, the Sunday stories, and, you know, we may mix that up a little bit too. We're not sure. We're just kind of, we'd love some feedback if you guys have any, and how you think about the Sunday stories, and, you know, just a little bit about that. But, you know, other than that, we'll keep it rolling, and we just hope to keep bringing, you know, some useful content and some, you know, interesting stories that you can apply to, you know, some part of your life, hopefully. So
another thing that happened while I was on my sabbatical, Staples Center isn't Staples Center anymore. Bill Plaschke tears are everywhere. So yeah, that was another thing that happened while I was away on sabbatical. It's now crypto.com center, which I feel like that's kind of a hilarious, like, analogy for, like, technology. It's like, oh, these staples, these things we put papers together with, like, now we're doing this crypto thing now. It's like, you can't even put on a paper. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, man, you had people like crying and all upset about, oh, history was in the Staples Center. I'm like, dude, you guys got to stop with that. That shit is weird. That building is not called anything. They just slap a name on who wants to give it the most money. Like, don't get things twisted, dude. Like, you know, the building means something for sure, but its name means nothing. And that's something that I've realized in professional sports the most, is that, you know, you get attached to a name or whatever, it's cool. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was that big change with, you know, in Atlanta with the Falcons and their stadium name. So I remember when that happened, it's like, oh my God. But now, you know, it doesn't matter. It's, and that's what something everybody always has to understand is that the name Amy isn't going to take away the memories, hopefully, you know, but the Lakers, I mean, name change, their game changed. So I don't know. I hope they can, I hope they figure it out. I mean, the league will help them. They'll get a play in probably and win it. And here we go. They'll be in the finals. Who knows what's going to happen? It's going to be insane. So,
I think that's been the best for, you know, as much as a Celtics fan, this season's been a little rough. Like the best thing to do is just not take the Celtics game seriously and then watch the Lakers game like it's game seven of the finals, because usually you'll end up on top. They've been dysfunctional a bit. Even with LeBron coming back, it's been like, what the fuck? Exactly a lot of flow or synchronization at all. Some dude was tweeting like all the crazy, I think it was like Hoop Central or something like that, was tweeting all the crazy Russell Westbrook lines, you know, the last six games. And the last six games they played the Pistons and Kings four times. Of course, Brody's eating off of literally the scrub squads. Lakers have been fun to watch.
Yeah. It's definitely the Kevin Hart thing. It's a laugh at their pain for sure is the thing right now. So, I hope that, you know, for LeBron's 39 years old.
Legit looks like he kind of lost a step. Like, you know, the explosiveness, at least like in the short step, is he can still get up full speed and get honking, but his short space speed is not the same, I feel like.
Oh yeah, that is definitely probably true. You know, and what I'm noticing too is he doesn't, like, he posted up so much more in other spots in his career, and they just don't utilize him in that role really. Like, you know, he's setting up Anthony Davis to be on a block, or he'll be throwing it to Westbrook, you know, like fucking spacing away. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I feel like that should be the other way, but you know, he's not getting as many opportunities with the basketball in his hands to just, I think for real, just flat out create. Maybe it's he's tired, maybe it's not, but you know, we all know that Russ needs the ball in his hands to be effective, and same with Anthony Davis kind of now. He's not like crashing the glass or kind of moving under the rim and circling and getting, you know, dump offs. So they become real stagnant. And people are calling for Frank Vogel. I'm like, I don't know if it's really his fault, but
it's brought there.
Yes, you know, he's a great manager of like people, and he's good at I think listening. Yeah, like listening to what people want and making it work. I think he's an also phenomenal negotiator. Like, I swear. But as far as like, you know, just watching him and his track record, it's like, his teams never have run anything. He's just had some really, really good players. You know, I mean, Paul George and Danny Granger at the time he had them, like, come on, bro, like that running show around there. And, you know, he's got a stud squad now. So it's, you know, I think he's a good coach. I just, you know, the players got to be able to defend, and they unloaded basically what defended to get Russell Westbrook. So you live and you learn.
Yeah, this feels like he was the guy to bring in just to eventually point the finger at when things got south or got cold for them. Yeah, Vogel will find another job if that ends up happening. I mean, there's definitely landing spots for him, and he's, like you're saying, he's not bad. The Melo fit's been, like, good when it's been going, at least. He seems like you know, the right compliment for, like, a LeBron-style game. I don't – like you're saying, though, like, with – ball handling, like who's getting it the most, like, at least regular season wise, like, Westbrook's not as good at, like, just carrying the team kind of thing, and LeBron, like you're saying, also needs the ball in his hand, so it doesn't seem like the greatest fit. And it's like, oh, who could have possibly seen that? Sad to everybody. But yeah, either way, crypto, they're in the crypt, which old fucking men. But yeah, that's the Suns.
About all the Suns, yeah. you know, they're fun. On a huge win streak right now, 16 games, 17 games. So they're rolling at the – I hope this isn't at the right time. Like, you know, they never want to just be killing it early. But I think that they can sustain it, man. They're tough. They have, like we were talking about earlier, just a lot of length and, you know, the ability to score the ball. And you got isolation type as well as – you know, they just do a great job moving the basketball and player movement as well. And, you know, that's why we've seen a lot of their success too. You know, they just do a really good job of moving the ball and their pace is super quick. So they're going to be a fun team to watch. I think DeAndre Ayton did a great job in terms of betting on himself. I think the Suns now are going to have to find a way to keep him. And he may leave to take money elsewhere. Even though I think Chris Paul prolongs a lot of people's career. So I wouldn't leave the well that's feeding you, you know, so, or sorry that you're drinking from, but yeah, man, I really like the Suns and the Warriors too, man. They play, their style is great. They're going to have to figure out, you know, kind of what they're going to do as far as guarding, you know, Ayton next time. Cause he did have 24 and 11. And he was really dominant in that game. You know, he just took care of everything on the inside. And so it's going to be interesting, you know, to see how that kind of progresses. But yeah, man.
That's, yeah, they've been that's all I got for those two. They've been rolling, man. They the Ayton's nasty, like you're saying. Like I've always liked Ayton and believed in that. Working out eventually, still young as hell, and like. Gonna definitely get paid now, but they beat the 18-3 Warriors last night, and then they play them again on Friday, so yeah. Probably be hearing this before then, maybe, but then the Warriors Suns are also playing on December 25th, which we also call Christmas, so that'll be cool. Hopefully, it'd be nice. Wouldn't be a terrible thing if they split the series this week's series, losing, winning this week, and then maybe Warriors snap their streak on Friday, and we have the rubber match for Christmas. That'll be a good game either way. 5 p.m. on Eastern Coast. Oof. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna fall asleep by the end of that one.
Yeah,
like 7:30 snooze.
Yeah, man, you always need those late games on the West Coast. They're a bit difficult. It's crazy. They don't even start half the time till about 10:20 anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like if I was on the West Coast, like, because the Christmas games start at like 9 o'clock, like, I feel like I'd be, noon. So 9 o'clock for them, I'd be like kind of disappointed because they run out of basketball on Christmas. Like, basketball from noon to midnight, like, East Coast.
Exactly. Yeah, man, it definitely will keep me in, and I will not be adventuring anywhere come Christmas Day. So, yeah, man, that's about it for this evening. You know, appreciate everybody coming out here. Make sure, guys, like T-shirts, man. If you have anybody for the holiday, hit us up. We got some T-shirts for you guys. They're with our logo and everything like that, you know, for our loyal listeners. So if you need that, please reach out to us. And you can always find us on Twitter and Instagram at BYRP365. And then, you know, I'm on, you know, Twitter at AJRoshan22, Coach Roshan on Instagram. And Mike, where can our lovely listeners find you?
At Lenny Bias on Twitter and Instagram as well. I think it's got like an underscore after it or something on Instagram, but I don't know. Lenny Bias will lead to the same place. So.
Absolutely. And guys, real quick, RIP to Len Bias. Today at Maryland, they're actually doing a tribute to his life. Where they have each in a certain section, they have his jerseys laid out on each seat. So nice little tribute. Coach Mark Turgeon, he had tweeted that earlier this morning. So that's a nice tribute that they're doing for him. And if you guys have a second to, I believe that game is even out now, to check that game out. I know that there's a lot of, just a lot of history and, things that they're explaining and sharing about his life. So, If you have a second, even on SportsCenter tomorrow, check it out. I think it'll be pretty cool. So thanks again, guys, you know, for joining us tonight. And we'll see you guys Sunday for a pretty cool guest. I think you guys are it was a quick pod, but I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Some pretty interesting stuff. And he's kind of made a really nice name for himself. And he's hilarious. So I think you guys are going to like it. See you guys later.